All right, the book of Jonah this morning. The book of Jonah, chapter number 1. It's just fun listening to y'all sing. It really is. I was having a good old time. Well, I like it. Live with it, you know? It's fun. Nothing more exciting than young people who want to sing about the Lord, or at least you're forced to, but you sounded good while you were doing it. I hope you wanted to. I hope you were thinking about that last song. And I hope you're awake. It's more fun to speak to people who are awake. But also, I'm going to be very ambitious this morning. I'm going to preach two messages that normally take me an hour each and try to fit it into the next half hour. So this is going to be exciting. So I do hope you're awake. Nobody thinks I can do it, do you? You've been talking to my folks in Idaho from when I was there. We'll see. But the book of Jonah, I think I spoke to you out of Jonah the last time I was here. But the Lord directed me back here. Again, this morning we will just be looking at the first three verses in Jonah chapter number 1. So Jonah chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. I want to get to verse 3. The first message is in verses 1 and 2. I'll try to go through that very quickly because I think we need to have the background, but I want to get to verse 3. And so the heart of the message this morning is this question: what choice will you make with God's will? What choice will you make with God's will? Let's have a word of prayer. Our God, we're grateful, Lord, to be here this morning. God, it's just exciting to me, Lord, at the potential that's sitting here. God, for what each young person, Lord, could be used by you to do if they'll make the right choice. Lord, sadly, there are probably some who are not going to. There are probably some right now who are thinking about going the wrong direction. And I pray, Lord, that this morning might be a bit of a wake-up call to them. I pray that it would be a reminder. I pray that it would be a challenge and a warning. And God, most importantly, I pray that they would grasp the truth of how important it is to do your will and to follow you and choose your path. And Lord, I pray now that your Spirit would speak through me, and we ask these things in your name. Amen. All right, most people know the story of Jonah, and you know he was swallowed by a... Okay, two or three of you know the story of Jonah. Let's try that again. And he was swallowed by a fish, whale. New Testament says whale, so I'll go with that, all right? But there's the big debate. But anyway, he was swallowed by some form of animal that is in the sea. Can we accept that? Is that okay? All right. Now, we all know that, and we all know that he did that because he was obeying or disobeying God. Okay, now, for a second, forget that you have been in a Christian school and that you're in Bible college and you have a basic understanding of the Bible stories. For a second, let's go to where we're at in the story and let's be Jonah for a second. Let's understand what he was going through. We know what was going to happen to him at the end, but understand, Jonah did not know that. And so sometimes when we approach the Bible and we approach Bible stories, we already know the ending, and sometimes we miss the lesson that's there or the power of the lesson that's there because we know the end. And we read Jonah and we say, duh, you moron, didn't you know you were going to get swallowed by a fish? Why didn't you do God's will? Because he wasn't a moron. He was perhaps being moronic in the fact that he was being stupid in the fact that he was not following God's will. But this was a preacher. This was someone who had been used by God already, 2 Kings 14, I think it's verse 25. He did already prophesy something. It did already come true. The test of a prophet as to whether he was right or not is whether or not his prophecy came true. Here he is, somebody who has already been used by God, somebody that God is planning to use again, okay? We're not talking about somebody that's just, you know, we look at him and we go, well, you know, Jonah was the idiot that got swallowed by the fish. No, we're talking about the reason God came to him wasn't to have him get swallowed by a fish. God came to him because God had a job for him to do, and God believed that Jonah could do it. And there's not one person in here this morning that's not you. God has a job for you to do. Otherwise, you wouldn't be alive. You have a purpose to fulfill. You're not an accident. We don't believe in evolution. We don't believe you just happened. You're here for a reason. You have got a purpose. God has something He wants to do with you. The difference between you and Jonah can be that you don't have to have the whale in your life because you choose to do God's will instead of run from God's will. So, and if I keep going on like this, I'm not going to get through the message. So, we understand. Let's approach the message. Let's approach the story as if we don't know the ending. And let's approach it as it is. A simple fact. A simple choice. God meeting with one of His children and saying, "This is My word." And that child making the choice as to what he's going to do with it. Because you understand this morning that anything in the Word of God, that's what it always is. It's your choice as to whether you'll follow it or not. God's Word's always the truth. You're not going to change the truth. But what you will do is make a choice on what you'll do with the truth. So really quickly, let's consider it. Look at the source of the command. In verse 1, the word of who? The Lord came unto Jonah. All right, so who is giving the command? We'll understand that the ultimate source of the command was God Himself. This is God speaking to him. God has the right to command him. God's created him. God is our Savior. He has the right to command us because He made us. He has the right to command us because He saved us. God has a double right on the life of every Christian. He's your Creator, and He bought you with a price. You owe Him twice. And you don't do two things to make up for that. They are two things that you will never be able to repay. You can't repay the breath of life that He gave you, and you cannot repay the cost of His life upon the cross and the shedding of His blood for your sin. You can't ever pay it, otherwise He would have never had to come. He has every right to give you a command. And the Bible says in Romans 14:9 that He came, He both died and rose and revived that He might be Lord of the dead and living. So His right to command is as your Creator, your Savior, and your Lord. Now what about His goal in the command? Does God give us commands because He wants us to be unhappy? Yeah, sometimes we approach it that way. Oh, I got to listen to Christian music because God doesn't want me to have any fun with music. No. No. Oh, I've got to go to church because God doesn't want me to go out and do these things or those things. Oh, I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I've got to miss out on so much because, you know, it's God giving the command. What do you think His goal in the command was? In Teen Sunday School, we've been looking at God's will, and so I'm kind of just following along with that theme a little bit here. But God wants to order our steps. In Psalm 37:23, He said, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." Psalm 37:4, He said, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." God's goal is to fulfill the desires of our heart when our desires are His desires. And then in verse 5 of Psalm 37, He said, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." So God wants to bring our way to pass. God's goal in His command for us, if you want to put it simple, is our best and His best for us. And His purpose in the command. What do you think God was getting ready to use him to do? God wanted him to reach a city of utter wickedness. God said this, Jonah, I've got a will that is going to be fulfilled, and I'm offering you a chance to get in on it. When we go out and just simply pass out a tract, okay? When we go knocking doors and tell people about Jesus, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We are helping fulfill God's will and giving people a chance to get out of the misery of sin. When God asks us to do something from His Word, it is a chance for us to get in on His will. We get to accomplish His will on earth, and that's what God's purpose in His command was. Now, the source of it was God Himself. The form of the command is in the Word of God. Notice what it says. It doesn't say, now God came unto Jonah. Specifically, what it says is, now the Word of the Lord came unto Jonah. You could go all through Psalm 119 and find some things concerning God's command. But here are just a few things. It was a just command. Romans 7:12 tells us this. It was a perfect command. Psalm 19:7 tells us that. It was a right command. Psalm 19:8 tells us that. Sorry if you're trying to write them down, but I've got to keep moving. It was a pure command. Psalm 19:8 also tells us that. Romans 12 verses 1 and 2 tells us that it's reasonable. He said it's our reasonable service. God does not ask things of us that are unreasonable. It's a reasonable service. It was a reasonable command. It's a good command. And he said, acceptable. It's an acceptable command. So God's command here is just, perfect, right, pure, reasonable, good, acceptable. In other words, it's something that you ought to follow. And notice the recipient of the command was Jonah. He was the son of Amittai, meaning the truth of God, or some have said, my truth. Who was he? Well, he's a Christian. He was a servant. Yes, he was a prophet, but he was someone, put simply, that had God had asked him to do something, and that was his job. Folks, when you got saved, your job now is to no longer live for yourself. That's what you did before you were saved. Things have changed. Things are different now. We sing the song with the kids, the things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. I like that song, not just because it's fun, but it's a great truth for kids to learn. There's been a change. Things are different. You're not in charge anymore. It's not something you're supposed to regret either. It's a wonderful, beautiful thing. His past is the fact that he had been used by God before. He had seen God's blessings before. He knew who God was. He knew God's character. In chapter 4 and verse 2, when he's getting mad, he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. What I'm simply saying is, we're talking about somebody who knows who God is. We're talking about somebody who knows about God. We're talking about somebody who gets it. Now, let's make the application. Does that fit you this morning? Yeah, it does. Hey, listen. I'm not preaching to the world this morning. I'm not going out on the street in Chesterton or in the public high school in Chesterton trying to help them understand about God. Some of them know nothing about God. Let's face it. We live in a day where people really don't know who God is. They really don't know who Jesus is. They don't have a biblical understanding of God. Many in churches today don't have a biblical understanding of God, but you do. That gives you a great responsibility and a great obligation to do something with that. When you read the Word of God, understand God is saying, you know what you're supposed to do with this. If you don't do it, He will hold you accountable. You have a greater knowledge. Some of you have a greater knowledge at your age than your parents did. God will hold you more accountable than he held them, because you know more. To whom much is given, much more shall be required. That's not a bad thing. That's a privilege. When's the last time you thought about how blessed you are with that? Instead of thinking about all of the rules and how restricting they are, when's the last time you thought about how protective they are? Oh, you've got to, you know, get buzzed in to walk in the door sometimes. But do you have to walk through a metal detector? No. Why? You're the ones with freedom. You're the ones with the privileges. Why? Because our rules and consequences for those rules protect you. They do not restrict you except to hold back the junk that you don't need. It's a privilege. It's a blessing. Jonah had the privileges. Jonah, God was trying to send him, man, have you thought of it? God was getting ready to send him to go see revival. You know how many preachers would love to walk through the city, preach for 3 days and three nights, and watch the whole city of over 120,000 people? That was just the people who didn't know how to discern between the right or left, to watch them turn to God. Do you know what a privilege and how exciting that would be to preach? Man, I know what it's like to knock on door after door after door after door two or three times through a town and never get one visitor. Man, to watch the whole city come before God, that's exciting. And young people, what I'm trying to tell you this morning is what you're missing out on the fact, you got your eyes so much sometimes on the rules, you got your eyes so much on the restrictions, that you're missing out on the privilege it is to be the son of the truth of God, to be the daughter of God, to be called, and to have the privileges and the blessings that come with it. And God's got these commands for you. He had the chance, his possibilities, he had a chance to be God's representative. He had a chance to see great revival, to be part of God's instrument of mercy and part of God's divine plan. But notice the content of the command, verse 2. He said, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." There's a few things about this command. There's an urgent call. God said, "Arise." God's command requires haste. When God asks you to do something, he doesn't mean for you to think about it. He means for you to do it. God's command should become the top priority. You know, I was in a church in Missouri, and there were some ladies there that they were just governed by fashion. And they understood that they needed to have, you know, some modesty standards, but they also needed to be in fashion. Now, I'm not saying that you have to, you know, go Amish or something, all right? But here was their priority level, okay? And this is an illustration. I'm not just preaching on clothing. I'm trying to give you an illustration, all right? Here was their priority. Fashion is the goal. Standards are what we work around. That was the way they lived their lives. And you know what? I'll tell you something. You go to a lot of other Bible colleges, and that's the truth right there, too. Oh, well, the skirts have got to come to our knee, so they'll just barely come to the knee. So that when we sit down, they no longer do. Why? Because it's got to be in style. No, you don't. Who came up with the style? Some guy. I just thought this would look so cute on the girls. Seriously. Who do you think came up with the fashions? Some sodomite fashion designer who wanted to get an extra $50,000 with the... I'm underestimating that, I'm sure. Just to put his name on the clothing. You know, why? Why go with that? Now listen, what should be the priority? Well, God's Word. And then, if the fashion fits into that, okay. See, there's the difference in the priority. Now, again, I'm not talking about clothing, and you guys are like, yeah, man, get them. Well, some of you guys, yeah. We'll just keep going there. really want to stop there, but let's just keep going. But what's the point? What's the point? God's command is the top priority. Everything else is what we work around. Well, you know, as far as when I get out of high school, here's what I would really like to go do. Okay, but listen, this is what God wants you to do. Now, if what you want to do fits in with God's commands, fine. But if it doesn't fit in with God's commands, your job is to do God's commands, not your ideas. See, that's the difference. Arise. He said, and go. God's will requires action. It's not something we sit around and talk about. Arise, go to Nineveh. And notice what he said, and cry against it. You know what God's will requires? God's will requires you to choose a side. And sometimes it's not popular. Sometimes it's not popular with family. Sometimes it's not popular with friends. But God's will requires you to choose a side. Now here is Jonah, and God is saying, I want you to go into a city where nobody has anything to do with me. Nobody wants anything to do with me. And you tell them that they're going to be thrown against it. You cry against them. God, have you ever thought about how unpopular that might be? Sometimes God's will is unpopular. God's will means you're going to have to choose a side. God's will means that sometimes you're going to have to stand against some things. God's will means you're going to have to vocalize truth. And it was a wicked place. Nineveh was not just a city. Notice what he said. He said, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. You know, sometimes God's will can be intimidating. But we must remember that no command from God is greater than His power to accomplish it. And there was a reason for them to go. He said, for their wickedness is come up before me. God has a double purpose in His command here. It's a mission of warning because God won't tolerate evil and God will bring judgment. But it's also a mission of mercy. Have you ever thought about the fact that God could have just wiped out Nineveh? Why was He sending Jonah? To give him a chance. Because He was a God who is slow to anger and merciful. Now, that's the first message. So let's come to verse 3. Now we understand, again, we understand what's come. It's God Himself that is giving the command. God who they have an obligation to follow. And His command is clear. You need to get up and you need to go. Now at this point in the story is the same point that you are with God's commands. You've got a choice. God said, arise, go to Nineveh and cry against the city. You can either do that, make the right choice, or you can make the wrong choice. Obviously with Jonah, we know that he made the wrong choice. So let's take a look at what the wrong choice entails. Notice first of all the choice. Verse 3, but Jonah rose up. Now if we could stop right there. Is he not fulfilling God's will? What was the first part of God's command in verse 2? Arise. Jonah rose up. Hey, God, look at me. I'm doing what you want me to do. I wish we could stop there, but that's not what happens, is it? But Jonah rose up to do what? To flee. Notice that when you make the wrong choice, some things about it. First of all, notice the promptness of it. His disobedience was immediate. When you're faced with a choice, obedience and disobedience, those are the immediate choices. You will make one or the other. Young people, you understand that sometimes you think you can just ignore it? Well, I know that's what God says, but I don't think I really want to make a decision about that. Listen, I had a young man in my office just a few days ago, and I told him that. I said, you're going to have to make a choice. He said, so what you're saying is it's all in or all out. I said, it's always that choice. Because if you're only half in, girls, you're half out. And eventually you'll be out. Guys, are you listening? If you're only halfway in, eventually, you'll be halfway out. How about it, college students? I've got friends that when they were in college, they were half in and half out. You know where they are now? They're all out. Some were half in and half out, and they made the choice, and they said, you know what? Forget this halfway stuff. I'm going all in. And they're pastoring, and they're serving God now. And boy, it's exciting. But don't think because you're in Bible college, you say, well, I'm a freshman. I've got 3 years to make that decision. Oh, no, you don't. Man, Dr. Mitchell, when he and I got here, half of our freshman class was gone by our sophomore year. Boy, I've already got so many names running through my head right now. Who knows where those guys are at? They were gone. Some of them left, one guy left in a police car. He got the bright idea to steal the American flag from Taco Bell. Okay. They were not in favor of that. That's what he chose to do. I know. What? That's what we thought. I'm sure that's what the staff thought. Like, what? Stupid things that people decide to do. Just want to see if y'all are awake. Glad to see you still are. His disobedience was immediate. His running was immediate. And then notice the pattern when you make the wrong choice. Notice how it goes. This is important. First thing you do is you run from God's will. Jonah rose up to flee. You may not actually take steps initially to do this, but at least, excuse me, in your mind, you choose to do this. And then the second step is he had to get somewhere that he could flee God's will. Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. Now, why did he go to Joppa first? Because he had to get somewhere that he didn't have to do God's will. Why do people leave? Teenagers, why do people, when they get out of high school, leave church, leave this church? Why do they do that? I'll tell you. Because if you stay here and don't want to do God's will, you're going to be uncomfortable. And you know what? We kind of like it that way. Somebody once told me, and I was preaching there in Chalice, they said, but you know what? Sometimes visitors, they come in and they hear you're preaching and they get uncomfortable. And I said, good. I didn't ask them to come in here and be like they were. I want them to come in here and change, and I don't want them to be uncomfortable because I'm rude or I'm mean or I'm cruel. But if they're uncomfortable because of the truth of the Word of God, good. That means they'll do something. He had to get somewhere they could flee God's will. Well, I don't think I'm coming back to Bible college next year. Why? Well, they got it in for me. Why is that? Made me clean my room. I have weigh-in. Y'all still have weigh-in? Some of y'all forget? I don't know. I didn't mean that the way it came out. Oh, we got weigh-in. We got all these rules. We got these things we got to follow. You know what? I don't know if I'm going to come back. Yeah, get somewhere where you can flee God's will. You'll find somewhere where it's a little more comfortable. And then he found help fleeing God's will. He went down to Joppa and he found a ship. Oh, how much we can rationalize and fool ourselves. Boy, there's an open door. I've got a ship. I can get away from God's will. He found a ship and then he went to Tarshish so he could get away from God's will. And notice, it says in the middle of verse 3, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it. I'm running out of time, so let's just simply go to the cost. When you choose to run from God's will, would you notice that he lost something? In verse 3, again at the beginning, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish. Notice this phrase, from the presence of the Lord. Go down to the very end. And it says, and he went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now we know according to Psalm 139, verse 7 to 10, that you can never actually get away from God's presence. But you know what he was doing? He was running from the joy of the presence of God. You remember David in Psalm 51, what he said? He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Psalm 16, verse 11. He said, Thou wilt show me the path of life. And then he said this, in thy presence is fullness of joy. The last part of the verse he said, at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Listen, you get away from God, understand something, you lost. You lost. You say, I succeeded. I was trying to get away from God. You lost. Because you lose joy. You lose pleasures. You think the pleasures of this world, listen, the pleasures of being at the right hand of God, they always satisfy. The pleasures of the world always leave scars.
Yes, sir.
That's it.
Yes, sir.
You get your choice. And he paid to leave. God was taking care of him. God was providing his way there. You realize Jonah going and preaching in the city and them turning to God, Jonah could have been a hero in a sense. Disobedience always has a price. It cost Adam and Eve innocence, and it cost them a son. It cost King Saul a kingdom. It cost David 3 sons and a daughter. You will pay the cost of disobedience. The course is away from God and down with each step. You'll notice he went down, he went down, he went down, until finally he's down in the belly of the whale and finally cries out to God. And he chose companions. In verse 3, it says, he paid the fare thereof, went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish. With who? Hey, listen, just because you've got some people hanging out with you doesn't mean you're in God's will. There's always going to be people who don't want to do God's will. So what about the right choice? The right choice is that Jonah should have risen up and gone to Nineveh. It should have been immediate obedience to God's will. Now, was there a cost in following God? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, there's a cost. God said, if any man come to me, he has to deny himself and take up his cross. But you gain the closeness of Christ, and God said, you'll save your soul. He said that all that in Matthew 16. There's a cost. But the benefits far outweigh the cost whenever you go with Christ. The cost far outweigh the benefits when you go with the devil and you run from God's will. The course is the fact that instead of getting farther away from God, you get closer to God. When God said in 2 Corinthians 6, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, a lot of people just focus in on that verse and hate it. Oh, there he goes, my separation again. But do you know the next part? He says, and I'll be a father unto you. God said, separate from the world and I'll be there with you.
Amen.
Satan never makes that promise. The world never makes that promise. God says, you separate, you get me. That's why separation isn't a horrible doctrine. It's a wonderful doctrine. Look at Matthew chapter 12 and I'll be done. There's something I want to make clear here at the end. People think, and we even sing, though no one join me, still I will follow, and that should always be our attitude. But a while back, this passage of Scripture got a hold of my heart. Matthew chapter 12, look at verse 46. Speaking of Jesus, while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. The one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him, and that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, now read the rest of this, listen. Behold, my mother and my brethren. Now get a hold of verse 50. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same as my brother and sister and mother. Not in this Bible, but another Bible that I have that I pretty well wore out. I wrote this. I said, when you're in God's will, you always have a family. Don't think you've got to be alone. You may be alone for a time. You may be around people that don't want to serve God. And so, yes, sometimes there's loneliness. Yes, sometimes there's hardness. Yes, sometimes there's difficulty. But listen, my friend, there are others who want to do God's will. You choose God, and God will give you the fellowship of others who are doing His will. In high school, I had the only kids that ever want, we would come in and have opening exercises, kind of like maybe you high schools would have a homeroom. And we would do these opening exercises, and I'd come in there, and all the other teenagers, they were, hey, sit here, you know. You know who wanted me to sit with them? The third and fourth graders, because they were in my junior church. Come here, sit here, Mr. Archie. When I would walk up to the rest of the teenagers that I was in school with, they always stopped talking. I was very lonely my last couple years of high school. Then I got to Bible college. And I've told you that I have some friends that were in Bible college with me that are no longer serving God, and that's sad. But you know what? There's a lot of them serving God. Pastor Potter was just here. He and I were in school together. Dr. Mitchell and I were in school together. Mr. Schrock and I were in school together. Mr. Ramos and I were in school together. There's a number of staff members here that we were in school together. And there are pastors all over the country that I can call up that here in a couple of weeks, I'm excited once again that they'll come in at preaching conference and we'll sit and we'll visit. Pastor Lewis, he and I were in school together. We sit here and we visit and we fellowship. And you know what? I feel like I've got my family together for a little while. And it's fun. Honestly, sometimes I get together with other preachers I have at some fellowships, and I don't feel that camaraderie. But boy, you get around men who are doing God's will and excited about God, you've got people you can fit in with. You may have to go through a little loneliness for a while, but listen, my friend, you always have a family when you're doing God's will. Choose Him. Because when you choose the people who aren't doing God's will, you know how they view friends? They view friends for what they can get out of them. And when they're done with you, they will toss you. You teen boys listening to me? Choose God's will. You girls listening? You want friends? Do right. Choose God. He'll give you the right ones. You college students listening? You choose God's will. But it's your choice.